Good morning. Thankful to see each and every one of you, and I want to express some true gratitude to see one little man with us, and that's Will Hankins. You know that last week we told you he was in the hospital struggling with a stomach virus, but he's able to be back with us. It's obvious not as much of him is with us now. He lost quite a bit of weight that he didn't have to lose, but we're thankful that he's feeling better. Thankful to see all of you, some who have been on our prayer list and able to be back with us, and we are truly thankful for that. And thankful for our visitors who have come our way. Its roots are inward, but its fruit is outward. It's our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is an outward look based on past experiences. It is a thing that draws people to us or repels them. It is never content until it is expressed. It is the librarian of our past, the speaker of our present, the prophet of our future. What is it? It is our attitude. Our attitude. Charles Swindoll is accredited with this statement: "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on all of life. Attitude is more important than fact. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it." I'd like for us to focus a few moments this morning on attitude. Even more, having a Christ-like attitude. What was the attitude of Christ? Well, to fully discuss that would take much longer than I have this morning. But I'd like for us to point out a few characteristics of Christ's attitude that should be the attitude of His followers as well. First of all, qualities of a Christ-like attitude are being caring and considerate. Caring and considerate. The prayer was one of the most expressive and the words memorable. It was uttered by a man who had only recently become a Christian. His tall, impressive frame reflected confidence and success as he approached the microphone. His voice conveyed the note of sincerity as he prayed, "Dear Lord, we know that we are strong and we are powerful. Help us always to remember the strength of kindness." The strength of kindness. Yet so many believe today that kindness is a mark of weakness. And in practicing that and having that mindset, in responding so long with unkind words that their countenance reveals that sin in their heart. And their face even displays a grouchy and irritable disposition, an irritable attitude. But kindness, there's a strength in kindness. It should characterize our attitude. Kindness is God-like. In Titus 3, 4, and 5, we read that it was the kindness and love of God our Savior that brought salvation to man by His grace through Christ Jesus. God is kind, and we must be as well. Christ taught kindness toward all men. For example, in Luke 6, 35, "Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil." God is kind even to those who aren't thankful, who don't acknowledge that He is the giver of every good thing. He is kind even to those who are not living as they should. He causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, the Scripture says. We are to be kind. God is kind. Christ taught it. We're to be caring and considerate. in at least three ways. Number one, in our thoughts. In our thoughts. I believe this is taught in 1 Corinthians 13:7 in the love chapter. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Moffat's translation states it this way: love is always slow to expose, always eager to believe the best. Always hopeful, always patient. Are we kind and considerate and caring in our thoughts towards others? Do we seek to believe the best about others before we assume the worst? Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 also direct our attention to our thoughts. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And it's a mindset, it's an attitude to be considerate and caring of others, even in the way that we think, but also in the words that we use. Are we kind in speech? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians 4:29, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. But not only kind in our thoughts and speech, but also in our actions. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. I have wept in the night for the shortness of sight that to somebody's need may be made me blind. But I never have yet felt a twinge of regret for being a little too kind. The Christian disposition, the Christian attitude should be marked by caring and consideration. Secondly, it should also be marked by humility and hopefulness. We should be humble and hopeful. In Luke 18, Jesus gives us a parable speaking of how humility should mark his followers. He spoke this parable, so says Luke 18, verse 9, to some who trusted in themselves, considered themselves righteous, and looked down on other people. And this is the parable that he shared that day. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But watch Jesus' application. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. We're to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Our attitude should be one of humility, because pride is an affront to God. As someone has said, pride is a telescope turned the wrong way. We magnify ourselves and make the heavens small when it should be the other way around. I appreciate John Brody's attitude, former quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. He would hold the ball for the field goal kicker for field goals and points after. And he was asked one time, how is it that a million-dollar player like him should have to hold the ball for the kicker? His reply was, well, if I didn't, it would fall over. What humility. Also like what Winston Churchill said, he knew that public favor was no proof of real success. On one occasion, he spoke to 10,000 people. And a friend came up to him afterwards and said, does it not impress you that 10,000 people came to hear you speak? His reply, not really. 100,000 would come to see me hang. He realized that certainly a public favor was no proof of real success. He was marked by humility in that statement. humility that should characterize our lives. For I say, through the grace given to me, Paul says, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think is humility. So 1 Peter 5 verse 5 says, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But humble and hopeful. Hopeful. Our attitude should be characterized by hope for the future. Hope in other people, looking for the best in other people, as we read in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Always eager to believe the best. But not only about other people, but hopeful about our present circumstances as well as our future circumstances. Realizing that God can make all things work together for good for those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. We have a living hope, 1 Peter 1, verse 3, because we have a living Savior who intercedes for us. And because Jesus is alive, because God keeps His promises, our attitude should be one of hope. It's expressed by Paul's statement, Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Humble and hopeful. Next, ready and responsive. Ready and responsive. I want to point out some passages in our Bibles that contain the word ready, that would also indicate being responsive to certain things. For example, Acts 17, verse 11, speaking of those Bereans, they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We're to be ready and responsive to learn. Eager to find out God's will for us. Eager to know more about Him, about what He would have us to do, and the kind of attitude we should have. Our attitude towards the Scripture should be one of readiness to learn and to apply to our lives. We should be ready and responsive to give to those who are in need. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul gives this instruction to Timothy to give to those who are rich. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And watch this. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Teach those who are rich not to trust in those uncertain riches, but rather be ready, be willing to share those around them with those who are in need. Ready and responsive to give. We should be ready and responsive to serve. Remind them, Paul says to Titus, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Are we ready? Are we responsive when the need arises? Do we walk by on the other side like the priest and the Levite? Or do we take advantage of the opportunity to serve? We should also be ready and responsive to teach. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Or as Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. We're to be ready to teach when called upon. I ask, why doesn't somebody do something? But then I realized, I am somebody. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Isaiah says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah's response, here am I, send me. He was ready and ready to respond to the Lord's command. It was Dwight Moody who said, I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do. But in order to be ready to do, we have to prepare ourselves. Abraham Lincoln said, I will prepare myself, and when the time comes, I will be ready. Let's be ready and responsive in our attitudes towards the opportunities around us. Number four, other qualities of a Christ-like attitude, interested and involved. Interested and involved. Interested in spiritual matters, for one, and most importantly. Notice Jesus' statement to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. What are our minds set upon? What is our attitude towards things in life? Are we concentrating on spiritual things or on material things? The things of God or the things of men? We need to be interested and involved in spiritual matters first and foremost, like personal spiritual growth habits, prayer and Bible study, attending the services of the church, and etc. But also being interested and involved in the work of the church. It's the greatest work in which you and I can be involved. But also interested and involved in the needs of others. Again, Philippians 2. Look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Be interested in the interests of others. Ray Dobbins was sitting beside a gentleman on an airplane on one occasion. This gentleman told him about riding on another airplane from Miami, on which there were some 65 psychiatrists traveling home from a convention. During the flight, a woman became very ill and mentally upset, and yet none of the 65 psychiatrists responded to her need. Ray Dobbins' companion's comment was, you know, life is a lot like that. In the world, we have so much intelligence and expertise, and yet so much of it is of no help in time of need. And we must guard against that very mindset in our own attitudes as Christians. When we say, and we say correctly, that we have the answer to the woes of the world, and the answer is Christ. But we've got to be able to, in a personal, physical way, be willing to be present and to be helpful, to be interested and involved in the needs of other people. I appreciate what George Washington Carver said. How far you go in life depends upon you being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in life, you will have been all of these. We need to be interested and involved. But also submissive and serving. Submissive and serving should characterize our attitudes. Submissive, like the attitude that Eli instructed Samuel to have. When Samuel kept being awakened by this voice calling him, Eli instructed him, next time you hear that voice calling you, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. That's our attitude. That's what it should be toward the Scriptures, one of submission. Speak, for your servant hears. Command, and I will obey. Just like Isaiah's attitude that we referred to earlier. Here am I. Send me. That's an attitude of submission. Hebrews 5:9 tells us, having been perfected, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Jesus was obedient to the Father. That characterized His life and His attitude, and it should ours as well. William F. Buckley, Jr. wrote, I mean to live my life as an obedient man, but obedient to God, subservient to the wisdom of my ancestors, never to the authority of political truths arrived at yesterday in the voting booth. My attitude of obedience, my obedience is not going to be based upon what's popular today, but what is commanded by our Heavenly Father. Submissive and serving. And finally, thankful and trusting. Our attitude should be one of gratitude. We should thank God for what we have, having that grateful spirit about us, giving thanks for always, for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read about a woman who carried around with her what she called her pleasure book. Here are some of the entries in her pleasure book. I saw a beautiful flower in a window. I talked to a bright, happy girl. I received a kind letter today from a friend. I enjoyed a beautiful sunset today. My husband brought some roses home to me. My boy got out today for the first time after having the croup. See, they were pleasurable experiences for her. Things that she wanted to remember, things for which she was thankful. And what an outlook on life. And what an outlook should characterize our lives as Christians. We have so much to be thankful for. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Thank God for what you have. Trust God for what you need. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. There was a military officer and his wife who were aboard a ship that was enduring a raging storm. And she was very, very afraid, and yet he somehow was able to remain calm. And she grabbed his arm and she said, how can you be so calm? And he stepped back a little bit, drew his sword, and pointed it at her heart. And he said, are you afraid of this? She said, of course not. His response, well, why not? He says, because it's in your hand and you love me too much to hurt me. The soldier responded in the same way, I know the one who holds the winds and the waters in the hollow of his hand, and he will surely care for us. You see, with this attitude of trust, we can say all is well, even when the storms rage. This attitude characterized the life of Paul. For example, in 2 Timothy 1:12 we read, for this reason I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. He trusted God. He trusted that what He was willing to surrender to Christ, that Christ would take notice, would not forget, and would reward him one day. Trusting and thankful should be characteristics of our attitude. You'll notice that the first letters of these words that we've used spell the name Christ. And certainly Christ was caring and considerate. He was humble and hopeful. He was ready and responsive. He was interested and involved. He was submissive to the Father, yet serving, he was thankful and trusting. And Philippians 2:5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What about our attitudes? Have they exemplified Christ in the thoughts that we think, in the motives behind our speech and our actions? Will you not have an attitude of submission this morning if your need is to respond in obedience to the will of God? Believing and turning from your sins in repentance, ready to confess Jesus, will you not submit to being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that you may become a child of God? But as children of God, may I also ask us, has our attitude been Christ-like? Have we been negative, unkind to others? Have we demonstrated Christ's attitude to those around us? Or are there some changes that we need to make? If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?